from the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Talking Catholic. I'm Jen Morrow, and with me today is Mike Walsh.
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yes. You had your, we're recording on Friday, and you had your birthday on Thursday, and You're now the ripe old age of 56.
Oh, my gosh. You actually did tell me you were going to say 40, something like that. 47.
47, that's right.
Yeah.
Well done.
I don't know if I'll end the year 47, because twice in my life, I have forgotten at some point during the year how old I actually am. And that just happened again recently, like a few months ago. And my husband's like, wait, how old do you think you are? And I'm like, I'm 48. He's like, you're 46. And I'm like, oh, sweet.
You really need to put your birth date into your phone. That way, because it has the actual year there, yeah. And then you'll always know.
Well, somebody called me yesterday. My aunt called to tell me happy birthday. And then she said, I should play the lottery, which I don't. She's like, it's like a gazillion dollars. And then she's like, she followed that up with, did you forget your birthday? How old you are? And I said, yeah, actually, I did. I said, but if I win the lottery, if I play it and win it, I will hire somebody to just remind me all the time when my birthday is.
You know what? That is an excellent, excellent idea. I fully support that.
So anyway.
But you've had a nice birthday. I know your brother came up and you've been hanging out with him and he said nice things about the podcast. So that was good.
He did say nice things about the podcast. Yeah.
He did. Yeah.
My brother's up from Texas. Picked him up at the airport yesterday. Brought him around the office today. To meet everybody. Yep. He saw where the magic... Actually, he came in the vault to look at where the podcast is, and he said, wow, this is where the magic happens. I said, all right, we can call it that, but sure, why not?
Black magic, whatever kind of magic it requires, you know. But no, it was a pleasure meeting him. Seems like a really nice guy. I was asking, we were talking about all sorts of food opportunities down in South Jersey, so we get a... Even though he spent a lot of time in South Jersey, though, right?
Yeah, my brother was a plumber for a couple years, and he lived in Atlantic City, so that's where he got his plumbing career started here. And so he was actually, I didn't realize how much of South Jersey he had been across until he was talking to some of our colleagues about like Best Subs and Marmora and, you know, being to this town. I was like, what?
Oh yeah, we should put that on the podcast. If anybody could tell us what a really good sub shop in Marmora, New Jersey is, because Marmora is one of those few towns I've actually not spent a lot of time in. It's the town that I go past as I'm going into Ocean City, New Jersey, and other than going to the Wawa there to fill up and, you know, get some mozzarella sticks and a soda, I've never actually been to any restaurant in Marmora, New Jersey. Your brother is convinced that one of the best subs he's ever had is in Marmora, New Jersey.
So if you know, please email us and let us know.
That's jennifer.morrow@camdendiocese.org. Let her know and she'll let her brother know. If you tell me, I won't care.
I don't really care. I think you will care.
No, I don't like subs. Oh. I also don't call them subs either. I call them hoagies.
Really?
Yeah, I let your brother slide on that because he's not from around here, but... Yeah.
I don't call them hoagies. You call them subs?
Well, you're not a New Jerseyan.
Yeah. Oh, but I will tell you this. So we're talking about food. I'm just going to say this really quick. So, yeah, he lived here for a couple years, but then he went back to Texas. So he's been there, you know, almost 20 years again, right? So things have slowed down again. So my brother and I were joking about one of the most recent times I went back to Texas, which was like at least, I guess, 2 years ago, since that's the last time we saw each other. And we went into a Starbucks. And instead of just ordering at the Starbucks, he like had a whole conversation with the lady through the drive-thru about like what coffee he should order. And so we were reminding each other of that today because I lost my mind. Because, you know, there's like cars building up behind this. Now, nobody in Texas cared. There was no honking. But I mean, it was like a 7 minute conversation. You can't do that in New Jersey. You can't do that on the East Coast.
That's true.
Okay. Well, this morning I took my brother out for a cup of coffee at a little cafe in Haddonfield. And we had some Danishes and quiches. My brother was up there for like 10 minutes talking to these guys, and there's a line forming. Now, this time we're not in a drive-thru. We're actually in the restaurant. I just took my stuff and sat down and pretend I didn't know him until they came over and sat down. Because I was like, it's going to happen again. Except this time there might be words and a little bloodshed.
You know what? You made the right decision.
Right?
Yes.
I abandoned him quickly.
That situation, you know better. And I 100% approve of your technique in that regard. Because I would have done the exact same thing.
You can't just do that.
But so you took him to this place. Yeah. Then you guys went out for drinks at Aldo Lombardi's in Cherry Hill last night.
We did.
Another great location. So you're definitely, you know, taking him all the best spots.
Exactly.
Really? What did you say last night? Last night was Lamborghini night at the Aldo's?
I've only been to Aldo's for drinks. I would like to have dinner there one time, but we just went for drinks, and it was Lamborghini night. I felt a little out of my league. My brother was wearing exactly what you saw him today, jeans, big old steel boots, and plaid. And you know, I was just like, I feel like we might not fit in here. Lamborghini night. But it was really nice.
No,
and then we
place.
Went downtown Haddonfield and ate Mediterranean food. At Zaffron's, and it's delicious. That was a free plug, because that's a really good place.
Yeah, I recommend both of those. I've been to Aldo's a number of times, but only on business, so I never had to pick up the check. Because, you know, they know how to put out good food there. And Zaffron is great, too. No, that's great. I'm glad you're properly. And then he shows up in my office, and where did I direct him to?
Donkey's.
Donkey's place in Camden. You say what you will. I will never go out and say the best place to get a cheesesteak is. I will only ever say you can get a great cheesesteak at one of these places, D'Alessandro's in Philadelphia. But Donkey's, if you want a very unique cheesesteak, it's in I forget what section of Camden that is called, South Fairview maybe. But it's a sort of like hole in the wall kind of cheesesteak place. But they put theirs on a Kaiser roll, loaded up with fried onions, and you basically get a bushel of French fries if you order French fries. But even though it is a atypical cheesesteak, it is an outstanding cheesesteak, and you only need like one or two Lipitors afterwards just to get through, because there's a lot of. A little fat and grease, but man, is it tasty.
He's probably on his way there now, because he looked like when I walked him down the parking lot, gave him my keys, he was like, I think I might hit that up. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's a good guy.
So we are recording actually very close to when this is going to come out for once. We've been banking a bunch of episodes, but not now. So you're getting a fresh episode, everybody. But we want to talk about some of the things that are coming up this week. You know, we're rolling into Holy Week. When you're listening to this, you're either listening to it, hopefully, on Palm Sunday or the day after Palm Sunday of Holy Week. And, you know, we wanted to showcase where our boss is going to be a little bit. So you have a calendar in front of you that I keep looking at you in the hopes that you'll start to look at. So I can stop vamping and you can let us know.
Usually I pick up your cues. Sorry. I think my brain was still thinking about donkeys if my brother's there. Okay.
I really hope your brother listens to this episode.
I'm going to make him listen to this one.
I think you have to. I may send it to you before it's broadcast. You can listen to it in the car.
Oh my gosh. We'll do that. Okay. That's brilliant.
No problem.
Okay. So just looking at where the bishop is going to be for Holy Week and Easter, starting with Sunday, Palm Sunday, 10 a.m. He will be at St. Michael the Archangel Parish, Church of the Nativity in Franklinville.
With me.
With Mike Walsh.
And my parents.
Parents?
That's my home parish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the parish I grew up in. It'll be in Nativity Church, which is down in Franklinville. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've had Father Adam Chesky on many times and Father Josh Nevitt. Those are our stomping grounds, that area. Mm-hmm. We are the coolest of all the Catholics in the diocese because we're all from that general vicinity, as our guest knows. And when we bring him in, we'll ask him to confirm that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how you didn't... He didn't say our guest was cool. He's like, he'll confirm that we're cool.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy. I think I'll step up.
All right. A couple of days later, on Tuesday, March 26th, 3:30 p.m., is the annual Chrism Mass at Our Lady of Hope Parish, St. Agnes Church in Blackwood. Also, Mike Walsh will be there as well.
I will.
As a matter of fact, let me just preface. If anybody wants to see Mark Wahlberg is what I almost said.
You know what? If only. If only Mark Wahlberg.
If anybody wants to see... Mike Walsh, along with Bishop, Mike Walsh will be at all of these, I believe.
I will, as a matter of fact, be at every single one of them.
Mark
so please.
Wahlberg will not.
No. But let's face it, if you had a choice between me and Mark Wahlberg, everyone's choosing me. Come on now. I'll have a scowl on my face the entire time and a camera in front of it. But by all means, feel free to come over and talk to me for no more than 10 seconds.
Thursday, March 28th, of course, Mass of the Lord's Supper, Holy Thursday, 7 p.m., St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Mays Landing. And then the very next day, Good Friday at noon, Bishop Sullivan will be at the service of the Lord's Passion at 3 p.m. for a service in English, Spanish, and Polish at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception.
So that's at 3 p.m. is
yes.
the service.
Wait,
but the,
don't, wait,
hold on,
I know.
Wait, I'm adding flavor.
Okay.
But at noon, mm-hmm. there'll be a procession that precedes it, which is amazing, which is another thing we need to talk to our guest about.
Yes.
Because I would like to him to sort of comment upon that. It's a great, like...
Live stations.
Yes. Yes. And if you could talk into the microphone, that'd be great.
Oh, okay. Also, oh, yeah, look at that. Spoiler alert, our guest is from the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception.
That is true.
Saturday, Easter Vigil, St. Simon Stock Parish in Berlin at 8 p.m. And then Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we have Bishop Sullivan at Church of the Holy Family in Seoul at 11:30 a.m.
Yeah. Good times.
Well, you like that?
I do. I think that you did a great job reading off the newspaper.
Thank you.
Well done. Matter of fact, I was actually going to bring up a couple of other topics, but we have done such a great job of eating up 10 and a half minutes just bantering back and forth.
About my brother?
Mostly about your brother. Mm-hmm. I say we bring in our lovely guest, who I have to tell you has done a human's job of not laughing out loud doing this.
There's been a lot of hand, like, yeah.
There's been a lot of covering his face and looking away and... He's a very jovial fellow that enjoys the jocularity, and you have done an excellent
job. Yeah, you've
done good. So, appreciate it.
So, Jen, who do we have with us today?
He also, by the way, really quick, he also made like a bougie look when I said I'd gone to Cafe Aldo.
Pinkies up.
Yeah, that's what happened. There were pinkies. Nice. We have Father Stephen Robbins, and as I said, he's the... from the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. He is the parochial vicar there, as well as the director of Catholic identity at Camden Catholic High School.
God bless, go Irish.
That's right. Which is hard for him to say as a Bishop Eustace graduate.
Yeah.
He's literally gritting his teeth.
No comments there.
Well, welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate you coming on because I know you were on just a few months ago. We were talking mm-hmm. what it's like to be a Catholic identity director.
That's right.
Very unique position within a Catholic school and in a very important position. However, at the moment, we don't care because we want to talk about Holy Week with you specifically.
That's right.
Forget about all that school stuff. You already got an entire podcast episode dedicated to that. I want to talk about the stuff that, every year, almost every year, we'll do like a Lenten podcast, we'll do an Advent podcast, and I like to do a Holy Week podcast. And I like the Holy Week podcast. I worry sometimes that, particularly with some of our middle-of-the-road Catholics, they don't take full advantage of Holy Week. Everyone goes to Palm Sunday because it's one of those days on the Catholic calendar where you get something.
Yes.
Everyone likes getting their ashes. Everybody likes getting their palms.
Yeah.
And then I think people forget that there's all these great services in between and masses in between, and then we get to Easter, right? So I actually wanted to go through it sort of from a schedule perspective, starting with Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
And really talk about like what people should be opening themselves to and why these dates are important to us, why these masses, why these services are important to us. So let's start with Palm Sunday. Other than getting free stuff, what is a good reason for going to Palm Sunday, Father?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So Palm Sunday is awesome. It's a little bit confusing, though, right? Because if you think about it, like, I like to think about it, and if someone were to ask me, why should I come to church during Holy Week? Like, what's special about it? And my instinct would be to tell them, like, right, you're basically walking through all of the events of the Paschal Mystery in a week's time, right? Where you're going from the moment where Jesus enters into Jerusalem on that Sunday, all the way through to, the Last Supper, to his passion and death on Good Friday, then to where he rises on Sunday. But Palm Sunday's weird because we commemorate like the entry into Jerusalem, the triumphal sort of entry with all of our palms. And then we also get the whole passion. So it's almost like it feels like we're jumping the gun a little bit. Like, okay, wait, so doesn't he die on Friday?
Yep. Yeah.
So like, why is he dying now? And the actual full title, if you look at the liturgical books, it says Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord. Sometimes people call it Passion Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. But what's cool about that, I guess, is because on Good Friday every year, we always hear the Passion according to John's Gospel. So Palm Sunday is like our chance to hear it from one of the other Gospels. Mm-hmm. So we just get the full sort of picture of all the things that are happening to Jesus there. But Palm Sunday is really cool. And if I were to be honest, it's a little like unsettling to me. I find Palm Sunday to be like a challenging day personally as a Christian, because like at the beginning of the Mass, right, it starts with like this procession into church. We all have the palms. We're singing these sort of royal hymns proclaiming like, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the gospel tells us about, you know, people are laying their cloaks down to welcome this king, all this like royal imagery. And then these same people who are like talking about like, oh my goodness, Jesus is the man. Like let's welcome him in. He's the king. Like a couple days later are, hey, crucify him. And it's like, whoa, that changed quickly. So I wrote about this in my bulletin article just for the parish this weekend. It was like, just kind of shows how fickle we can be and how quickly like the human heart in our weakness and our brokenness can just kind of change and join the mob, so to speak. So it's almost like, but we're also given hope in the midst of that, that while I am like fickle and I change my mind and I change my demeanor like super quickly, Jesus remains steadfast. Like in contrast to my variability, here he is. So Palm Sunday is really beautiful in that sense of like giving us a taste of that and to call me to mind of like, why do I need Holy Week in the first place? Because I need to be redeemed. And here comes the Redeemer and I see him in all his glory. I see why I need him. And I'm seeing the moment where he does that redeeming on the cross, which is super cool and beautiful. And you get free stuff.
And if you're smart, you know, a little old lady who will teach you how to turn your palm into either a cross or a fish. Or.
And I must confess, like, this was prior to me becoming a priest. Like, I always did a really bad job of, I remember I would go to Mass, like, on Palm Sunday. And this was, like, from the time I was a senior in high school through, like, you know, my college years, even as a seminarian, where, you know, I would get my palms. I would frequently, like, this happened to me a couple times, and this shows how terrible my just personal organization and hygiene maybe is, if you will. Because I would put the palm like in the back seat,
yeah,
like tuck it in like the cover, you know, in the back of the seat, whatever.
Yeah,
and I would just leave it there a bunch of times. So there were a couple times where it was like almost a whole year went by, and I have just like this dry, crusty palm in the back seat. And maybe that's like kind of sacrilegious. I don't know why I'm saying that.
I don't think so.
On the air,
you have a blessed item in the car with you.
I guess that actually sounds
true. That's how I look at it.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah. But like not like thinking about it, not like making a nice little palm cross about it, but I just like forgot about it and left it back there. Just kind of my absent-mindedness, I guess.
Well, you know, the other thing you can do is just take it home with you, then burn it and have your own ashes fresh when.
Right. And that's where I eventually, like when I realize, oh, shoot, like I still have this in the backseat, then I'll bring it to the pile of, you know, if the pastor's collecting it to burn them for Ash Wednesday or something.
But. I think that is acceptable. Before you say, is it me? It's not me. But I know somebody who uses like palms, you know, not right after, maybe a couple weeks, a couple months, as cat toys. And like they're letting the cat play with the end of the palms. And I'm like, is that allowed? Because it's like blessed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's allowed. It's not me. I told you it's not me. You're looking at me like.
No, I believe it's not you, though. I am now wondering if you're actually trying to, you know, sort of.
Ask for a friend?
Whether you're calling out your friend or not. Like hoping they listen and going, listen, you need to stock that up.
No, but is that like sacrilegious?
I don't know about using blessed items.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, that's how I
But to call
too.
It sacrilegious, I mean, I doubt that the intent is to like, bring dishonor upon Almighty God.
I mean, it's God's creature.
It's like,
creature.
Oh, look, here's a little thing, and the cat legs a little. But I would not recommend.
That's how I feel about it. How I feel about it. But I like the way that you put that about the Palm Sunday, the idea that, you know, everybody's cheering Jesus in, and it doesn't take long for them to go the other way.
Yeah.
Because that's one reason, like I love the like you said, you love the beginning of Palm Sunday, but I'm like, oh no, now we got to do this, and then it happens again on Friday. Yeah. But, and you know, that's like my because I'm like, I'm sad. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to, you know, of course, I don't want to crucify him. I'm like, let's see, we let him go, you know. But it's not gonna happen.
Interesting. If you're in one of those parishes with like sometimes the missalettes will divide the parts of the passion narrative where there are parts of like the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where like people are super fired up to be like, crucify him, crucify him. It was just so interesting to see like these, you know, these old quiet church ladies like letting it rip, you know, like you realize what you're saying, right?
Well, you know, they understand.
They get it. Yeah.
They understand the importance
it was
of it.
My sins that brought Jesus to the cross.
And I really appreciate that. Yeah. I think that's,
yeah.
I will admit that it's one. In addition to the giving away, I love the passion. I love being a part of the passion. I don't know that I've ever been that enthusiastic when crucify him comes up. I'm pretty sure I muttered it under my breath.
I'm like,
But it's one of those moments when, you know, we can really, we're always supposed to be part of the celebration, right? We're there with the priest, you know, celebrating the Mass. But it's nice to partake in another way as well. You know, so it's and we get so many opportunities to do it. You know, you get Palm Sunday, and then if we look forward, you get Holy Thursday and Good Friday as well, depending on where you go. But we'll get to those.
Oh yeah.
So Palm Sunday, great, wonderful, love it. Definitely go to it. I'm sure all of our listeners are good Catholics. They would never miss a Sunday Mass anyway. But but if you're looking for, you know, maybe inviting someone to Mass, that's always a great Mass to invite people. Because you know why? They get something for free.
And also, like, whenever the priest wears red, it's just cool.
It's cool.
I love wearing red as a priest. And I have a super red face naturally. So I guess it complements my countenance. But we just don't, of all the colors, it's one we probably wear the least frequently.
Yeah.
So it just feels special and it looks really cool.
It does look really
cool. They look fast, like race cars.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking about this because usually the other masses they wear red at would be confirmations. Typically, you would wear red. And I I mean, this is going to sound strange, but as a photographer, confirmations are great because the vestments pop.
Yeah.
they look great. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see your boys in red, as opposed to, say, Laudate or Gaudete Sundays when they're in their rose.
We all know it's pink.
But rose. the reds are great. Love the reds.
Yeah.
If you got a really cool priest, you go to a funeral because then you get the black vestments. Not every priest has those, but black vestments are cool. Hmm.
They are really sweet.
They are sweet. they're very slimming. Hey, listen, as someone who needs slimming, I'm not a priest. I don't get to wear them, but I appreciate the fact that every time I see up there and it's a burly-looking priest, I appreciate the fact he looks a little slimmer in that black vest.
You're very thoughtful like that.
I can just hear some of the people turning the podcast off right now. So we have Palm Sunday, important day, kind of kicks off Holy Week for us. And then the next one is the little known.
Yeah.
Now, not amongst priests, not amongst the devotees of the Catholic Church, certainly not amongst diocesan employees.
Scrabble work.
Thank you. But we have the Chrism Mass.
Yes.
Which is typically in many dioceses, maybe not most anymore, but many dioceses held on Holy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But in a geographically large diocese like ours, it's just too difficult to expect priests to be able to get to one side of the diocese for a Chrism Mass and then head all the way back to their parishes and prepare for the Holy Thursday Mass. So on Tuesdays of Holy Week in the Diocese of Camden, we have the Chrism Mass. Now, for those of you who don't know, Father, what is the Chrism Mass?
Yes. And actually, even before I even just say that, just to throw out another cool two little fun facts there. Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week are also really cool days to go to Mass because we get beautiful Gospels that are just setting us up more and more for what's happening. So like on Monday, the Gospel is always when Jesus visits the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and Mary of Bethany anoints him with the costly perfumed ointment, if you will. And that's where Judas is kind of like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you're wasting all of this. Or not bro, I guess he's talking to the woman. Like, we could have sold this for 300 days wages.
I believe
like,
now that would be referred to as bra.
Bra. Yeah.
as you well know from the high school kids.
Yeah. Like, we could have sold this to get all this money to feed the poor. And Jesus is like, what she has done, like, is she is anointing me for my burial. So it's like beautiful, just beautiful Gospels to take in. So I highly recommend going to Mass those days. And then Tuesday, like the normal daily Mass, you would get where they're all sitting at table and Jesus is like, one of y'all is going to betray me. I threw a little text.
I was like, oh my gosh, my people.
Yeah.
He speaks to all people.
Yeah. One of y'all is going to betray me. And everyone's like, yeah, right. Like, we're not going to betray you, whatever. And then.
You know better.
Here we go.
There we are. By the way, I would like to thank you for that because here we were talking about Holy Week and I'm already skipping ahead. So thank you for bringing us back to Monday. We've had this podcast, this topic of podcast many times and you were the first person to ever call out Monday and Tuesday for us. I never even considered it.
Thank you
for educating me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, no, of course. They're cool. Like, they're still pretty simple daily masses. Also, the first readings are all beautiful.
Yeah.
All the weekdays of Holy Week. Each day you get a different one of these suffering servant songs from Isaiah, which are just these little like, we're used to the one we hear on Good Friday in the first reading. Like, he was, you know, bruised for our iniquities, like by his wounds we are healed, all these kinds of things. But each day there's a different one. There's like four of them, all of whom speak about how the future Messiah will be this one who will suffer for the sake of his people. So they're also beautiful and just worth going to hear. But the Chrism Mass.
Chrism Mass.
Yeah, Chrism Mass. So what is the Chrism Mass? it's weird to describe. I remember trying to describe this to someone who was not Catholic one time. Mm-hmm. And they were like kind of puzzled by it. They're like, wait, so there's a mass to bless oil. I said, yes. But in essence, right, the Chrism Mass is a special mass celebrated by the bishop and ideally with the entirety of the presbyterate. So it's so like all the priests in a diocese, unless they're absolutely unable to go, are supposed to go. And it's a mass. And this is the reason why I think it's typically on Holy Thursday, is its association with the priesthood on the day in which the priesthood was instituted. But it's a celebration of the priesthood, and it celebrates the unity of the bishop with his priests. So it's a special day for us because it's almost like, you know, that's the day we renew our priestly promises. On the day in which the ministerial priesthood became a thing, we take a moment to like look to Jesus and to look to the one who stands before us as our shepherd, and to recommit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I'm doing this. And it's beautiful and it's super cool. I know last year as a newly ordained, like after being to so many chrism masses, I was like, this is awesome. This is just really cool, you know?
Yeah.
So a celebration of the priesthood and what that's about. But also in connection with that, the day in which we bless all of the oils that will be used for sacramental purposes throughout the entire diocese for the whole year. Those three oils being the oil of the sick, which would be used like when we do the sacrament of anointing of the sick for people, that special oil. The oil of catechumens, which would be used in baptisms beforehand as this sort of oil, an anointing associated with strengthening and of purifying of evil. And then the sacred chrism, which is the one from which the mass derives its name, obviously, the chrism mass, which is the special oil, which is mixed with this perfumed balsam essence, whatever it's supposed to be called, and blessed and used then in baptisms, confirmations, and then ordinations. It's just like when you just hear that described, people would probably be like, why in the world would I want to go to that? Like, it doesn't sound...
I disagree.
Do you? Okay.
I think your description was perfect, and that would make me more interested to go.
Okay, cool.
Because, and even
I'm
for...
Glad.
For good yeah. job. Well yeah. done. You get to keep your job for another year.
Oof.
I know it's permanent, but yeah. still. Okay, now I grant you, I am a sucker for pageantry. Mm. So, I mean, I love graduations because of the pageantry. Yeah. You name it, I like it. But the Chrism Mass is another one where there's this beautiful pageantry to it. And to see the deacons, now I've joked in the past many times, too often as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Thank you. That, you know, part of the is the deacons will bring up, various deacons from around the diocese will bring up these enormous containers of glass containers of oil. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like waiting for one of them to slip.
It really raises my blood pressure big time.
Please, sir, make it all the way to the table and then make it all the way to the back where they're going to where the little oil gremlins are back at the back there putting all of the oils in the little containers for the priests to take back to Paris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have such... Back of the, I don't, have you ever been back there to
oh,
see
I
them
have.
Work?
It's chaos.
Oh, it's incredible. It's
awesome.
Amazing the work.
It's like
they
a whole
do.
Bunch of ants working together to make their little.
And I'm not saying we're not saying these things
no,
pejoratively.
It's amazing.
I'm saying these wonderfully. I mean, the people that are back there are doing incredible work and turning the stuff around. Mm-hmm. So by the end of Mass, all the priests can take the oils back to their parishes with them. And if they have multiple churches within their parish, they have to have multiple vials for it. It's a whole thing.
It's really impressive.
But they do great work back there. But the pageantry of everything being brought in, and then the uniqueness of actually seeing the bishop bless the oils, including, I'm trying to remember, which oil is it that he has to breathe into?
The chrism.
The chrism.
I was
going
to say that too. You have to explain that because it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, so I think part of it is because the chrism is exceptionally important, right? So like the moments where we use chrism in the sacraments are at moments, and I'm going to try to like not get too theological here, but I get really fired up about this stuff, right? So we believe that there are three sacraments in the Catholic Church which impart sacramental character. Mm-hmm. In other words, like that leave an indelible mark on people's souls where like it's almost like God is like, you know, like the, you know, where people would like used to seal an envelope with like wax and then like a signet ring sort of thing. So the idea is that in these sacraments, it's like God is impressing himself upon our souls in a way where we are really changed, being baptism, when we're confirmed, and then when a priest is ordained. Those are the three moments where we use the chrism. Interestingly.
Yeah.
So there's something just like particularly special about that. And so I don't know the exact sort of theological thing of the breathing, but I guess because it's so important, we're like really drawing attention to the fact that like the spirit is coming into this oil to carry out this act through the sacraments.
Yeah.
So it's super interesting because I've, you know, being in the seminary, I've gotten to go to different chrism masses, like in different dioceses. And Bishop Sullivan does this so much more dramatically than any other bishop I've seen, where a lot of them will like take their microphone off and they're just, but he like, like breathes fire onto it.
He really from deep into his lungs. I it was explained to me once before, and I'm probably getting it wrong, but it has something, you're absolutely right, something to do with the spirit and like flowing through him and into the thing, and only a bishop can do it. And it's really impressive to see, but he does not mess around. Much like when he does confirmation.
Yes.
You know, when he rubs the oil into the catechumen's head, I mean, confirmandi's head, he that head is moving because he really gets it in there, because he really takes, kind of think of it, you've been ordained by him.
I have.
Was he tough with the chrism oil?
So yeah, with the ordination, your chrism is on your hands.
Yeah.
But he really
gets it in there,
rubs
right?
it in. He also, I think all the sacramental gestures, he's just, it's very, you know,
very deliberate.
Yeah.
Very deliberate. So when he lays hands on, like he puts his body weight onto you.
Yeah.
I mean, the confirmations just crack me up, because you see like these little kids walk up who are already terrified, and all of a sudden he's like shaking their head back and forth as he like rubs the oil in there. But
it leaves a mark. I mean, I think he likes to physically leave the memory of a mark
exactly
on the people he does.
And especially right when so many people walk around, like people have no idea what spiritually is happening in this moment, right?
Right.
Which is something like incredibly profound. And so he, I think, rightly is drawing attention to that.
I've heard it said, like I think because I've written captions about it, like when the bishop is breathing over the oils, it's the bestowing of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And and I've talked about this on the air before, so I won't say it long, but I came to the Catholic Church as an adult.
Mm.
And so I remember to this day, almost 20 years ago, like that's, you know, when I was anointed with the oil on, you know, Easter Vigil, like the smell of the oil, like your analogy of the wax and then the imprint to me is dead on, because like I didn't, and we've joked about this before, I didn't like take a shower for like 24 to 48 hours because the smell was a reminder to me that I belong to God. Like I felt loved and protected for that 48 hours. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I just felt like nothing could touch me. Like I was his. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about when I see the bishop lean over the oil and breathe on that. That is that bestowing again of the Holy Spirit to the best that we will be able to understand it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool.
I know.
Yeah.
I hate it when she does that. Seriously.
I'm fired up right now.
You should be. And it's a great event. And then there's another element to it. It's one of the few masses where, as you pointed out, all the entire presbyter is there. All the priests are supposed to go. And the way we pull that off, like any good diocese would, was we have a big priest dinner afterwards. So we get them there and we feed them. Hey, listen, whatever it takes to get them. Not that they wouldn't go on their own, but we thank them as well. So they have a big priest dinner afterwards, which I've never been invited to because I am, in fact, not a priest. Because it's so much of a priest mass, the homily, it's the only homily he really gives that I've been present for that is specifically targeted at the priests. Now, I jokingly like to say that this is the opportunity for Bishop to tune up the priests and really kind of come after them, but he kind of does. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, he is like, these are my expectations for you, and this is what I want you to accomplish, and this is what you need to remember what our roles are in the church and in South Jersey. And it's like the first time that you actually got to sit and listen to his homily as a priest, you know, last year, you know, how'd that feel?
Yeah, a mixture of things, right? like part of it very challenging because Bishop Sullivan last year, and I've heard now, like, I guess like 10 of these homilies.
We should mention that if you want to see your local seminarian, come to all of the Holy Week masses, because we will be littered with seminarians the entire time. So if there's a seminary you haven't seen in a while and you want to bestow some love and maybe a little cash or a gift or something like that, hug, whatever.
A little boost, as the bishop would say.
A little boost. Keep these guys going while they're away at seminary. Yeah. Come to any of these masses. But yeah, so you've been to a ton of these.
Yeah, so I've heard a lot of them, and I've heard him like kind of approach it in different ways, but it was very challenging, you know, because last year he was very frank. As like we can never like delude ourselves of reality, right? We have to acknowledge we're like maybe things aren't where we should be or where we'd like to be. So last year he spoke very challengingly to priests and people alike, really, about like needing to consider, like, have our apostolates and like institutions been effective in the way we would like them to be in helping to make disciples of Jesus Christ? And, you know, maybe they haven't been achieving that to a maximal capacity. But I liked it in the sense of, like, you know, thinking about playing sports, for example, like, your coach is not just always going to tell you, like, guys, you were so good. Yeah. Like, thank you for signing up to play on this team. Thank you for going out on the court when, like, sometimes you have a really bad game, yeah. right? Like, yeah. like sometimes I went out there and I legitimately, like, did not play well. And maybe I didn't have a great attitude. You know, like, I was really frustrated about something. I'm annoyed with my teammate next to me. And so I'm, like, overextending myself, trying to make something happen, not relying on my teammates in the way I should. And the coach has to call me out sometimes, be like, Steve, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, like, get with the program here.
Yeah. Right.
And we need that sometimes. And I think last year was an example.
Please remember
of, like,
that.
Needing to be called out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please remember that when, yeah. if should at any time in the near future I say something that maybe could be accused of calling people out, that's my job.
Yeah.
And you should love it just as much as the priest love when Bishop does it publicly in front of everybody.
I don't know, like, everyone would say the same thing as me, like, but. Like,
no, I think they do.
You need to be challenged.
You do. And like I said, I don't say this in a pejorative way, and I don't believe Bishop Sullivan means it in a pejorative mm-hmm. way, or any bishop who does mm-hmm. that. I think it's an opportunity, and there's really only two opportunities for the bishop to talk to the entire presbyterate at one time. One is at the priest convocation in October, and one is here in the spring at the Chrism Mass. And he avails himself of the opportunity, and as an outsider, yeah. as a non-priest, to know what's going on in his mind, it's wonderful to see. So we will be live. This will be the only Mass in service of the Holy Week that we actually be live streaming. So if you can't be there at St. Agnes in Blackwood, check it out on our Camden Diocese YouTube page or our Camden Diocese Facebook page.
And I'm, to be honest, I think last year's Chrism Mass homily was, it's one of my favorites of Bishop Sullivan's, wow. and I listened to it. And you know, it's not just saying that to priests, like, mm-hmm. well, last year too, he mentioned other right. populations right. of laity. And right. I like going to the Chrism Mass because, you know, on a regular Sunday, every day homily, it's, I don't want to say it's all feel good, but, you know, you got the people in the, you know, in the pews, so you're trying yeah. to uplift people and everything like that. So as a laity, I will only speak for myself. Sometimes I need to be yelled at. And I'm not saying that that's what Bishop's doing up there, but it's a reminder to say, you have a part in this too.
Yeah.
You have a part in your relationship with Christ. You have a part in your relationship with your husband, your wife, your friend, your fellow man. And are you doing it? And I personally like that. I mean, what do I tell Michael? Michael, I tell you all the time, you need to yell at me more. Like, sometimes
yeah, no
you just need to be yelled at.
Okay.
Or not even yelled at. Just say, hey, are you being the best you can be today? And that's how I take the Chrism yeah. Mass. Are you being the best you can today?
All right. I just want to go on the record. Every time I do this, I get yelled at by my entire staff for being mean. So I don't know about that. But okay. But if you say so, I will continue to offer fraternal correction. Do you like how I pulled that out? That was nice, right? You weren't sure where I was going to go with that, but
I'm
went there.
I'm only speaking for myself. Okay. I don't know what the rest of the staff
I'm going to make the rest of the staff cry, but whatever.
As if you don't already.
No, it's so true. So, unfortunately, we got to kind of move it along here, because we've these two right. masses.
The pilgrimage to Calvary continues.
Exactly. That being said, I did just one final note on the mm-hmm. Chrism Mass. Yeah. Is the dinner good?
It's good.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it okay, every year. Good. I know we've gone through different caterers in the past. So like, the culinary important. Selections change. But
was good. There a Lamborghini club meeting there later on?
Not that good. So Holy Thursday.
Yes.
When the Chrism Mass should take place, but doesn't in our diocese and yep. many dioceses. Tell me about Holy Thursday.
Yeah.
Another great opportunity to see something we don't often get to mm-hmm. see as part of that liturgy.
Yes. And I'll just mention in passing Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Since it's a whole
so
week.
Bad.
I have no. to stop skipping the other
but
days.
It's traditionally had the title of Spy Wednesday, which is kind of interesting because that's the day when, like, we would think Judas went to like inquire about turning Jesus over sort of thing.
Okay.
So
Spy
just
by Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. It's
hey,
kind
let's
of
wear black trench coats on Wednesday.
I already do that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. You do.
So I was just tapping on that.
No, no, listen,
going.
I'm so happy you've redirected me each and every time. And if anybody's wondering, when we joke around that we don't prepare for this podcast, we don't prepare for this kind of podcast.
Father does, apparently.
Apparently, he was on the board. So, Holy Thursday.
Yes, Holy Thursday. So, beautiful, right? I think most people, understandably, because they're right, associate Holy Thursday with the Last Supper, right? Where Jesus now, the night before he's going to Calvary to die for us, gathers his disciples together to celebrate the Passover, where he's taking something that, and this is something that is striking me this year as I just kind of prepare for Holy Week, that they would have been super familiar with, right? Like as good, faithful Jewish people, like every year they would have celebrated the Passover and it always would have looked the same, right? Like the ritual washings that take place, the lamb that is sacrificed and eaten, the unleavened bread. So all of a sudden Jesus is taking something that they know really well and he's shaking things up big time, right? Where like they normally would have all these sort of ritual hand washings that they do for before the meal. And what does he do all of a sudden? Our Lord and Master is like washing our feet like a slave would do. Mm-hmm. Okay, what the heck is going on here? And you have that beautiful sort of interplay between him and Peter. Like, Lord, who are you to wash my feet? And so Jesus like giving this example, as I have done for you, so you are to do for others. Then notably absent from this Passover meal is the lamb, which is like what they would eat. And instead Jesus like picks up this bread and he says something that they've never heard before. He's like, take this and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Okay, what's going on here? Then he picks up the cup, right? And they would have had several cups of wine that they would have drunk during this Passover meal. And he says another thing different, like, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the cup of my blood, of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus is taking familiar things to them that are really at the center of their faith, right? Like the Passover, I think we fail to recognize how important this is for Jewish people, like the essential mystery of God freeing our people and choosing us. Jesus is taking this most important event and he's essentially changing it.
Yeah.
And he's doing like really radical things. And so that's why we always look to Holy Thursday. And it's funny, in the Missal, like the liturgical book, it rarely like tells the priest what you have to preach about. But Holy Thursday is the one day where it's like, you must mention this in your homily, where it says there are three essential things that must be spoken about on Holy Thursday: the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the sort of demand of fraternal charity. And so we would see those as the three things Jesus does on Holy Thursday. He institutes the Eucharist, he ordains the first ministerial priests, and then he calls us to love one another as I have loved you, to the point of humbling yourself like a slave and ultimately to giving your life for your brothers and sisters. So three just really beautiful things that happen. Then obviously in the liturgy, there are some interesting things that we don't see in other times. Most notably, because for the first part of Mass, it's basically like a normal Mass. Getting the readings, we're hearing about the Passover from Exodus. We're hearing from St. Paul about... whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. Then the gospel, we get this story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which after the homily then, this is the most visually striking part of the Holy Thursday liturgy probably, is the washing of the feet that takes place, which I must confess. So this is my first year that I'm going to be the celebrant for Holy Thursday. So I'm pumped up about that. That'll be cool. But last year, what Father Adam and I did was like, he did half of the feet washing and I did the other half. I hate feet, like hate them. Like when I was growing up, and to this day, I never wear sandals.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like going to the pool and it's like, okay, yeah, it's sure. Convenience, right. It's not style. But I would never like go out with my friends and like wear sandals. Mm-hmm. Feet are gross, they're nasty. I don't like mine and I don't like others. So when we did the washing of the feet last year, we had like 12 people, like sort of mimicking the 12 apostles. We washed their feet. I finished really quickly.
Yeah.
And Father Adam was on like the third person. And I'm just standing there. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, this is like more embarrassing now. So,
you know what? It's something I've never considered before. And now I have a greater appreciation for every priest that has to do that.
Feet are gross.
Because I mean, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had your feet washed?
Once.
Yeah, I had it once as well. Yeah. I will say I was a little, because I'm not a big foot guy.
Yeah.
And I did make sure that was the most clean foot I've ever put out there. Yeah. And
to some degree, right, it's beautiful on both sides, right? Because for a person, and we see that in the gospel beautifully too, because Peter balks at this idea of Jesus washing his feet. You're in a position of vulnerability, of like sort of, not inappropriately, exposing part of yourself to another who's bending down like to serve you in this very humble way. And then on the other side, like as what Jesus is doing and what the priest is standing in the place of in that, it's like uncomfortable to do.
Yeah.
So that just really highlights the beauty and the radicality of what he calls us to.
Yeah. And the importance of servitude.
And the importance of servitude, right? Because this is the idea. It's like, it's not just the priests who are called to do this. Like, all of us now are being called to bend, to wash the feet of another, following the example of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but rather humbles himself, which is beautiful.
So this year, you have all 12 feet?
No. I still have 6 feet, but okay. I'm just the main celebrant.
Gotcha.
But I know, and I'm going to just like almost like count out to myself and just be like, all right, just take my time. Lord, I'm going to take my time.
There you
and
go.
Just kind of glance out of my peripheral vision, like where Father Adam is, instead of
racing through. Just, hey, listen, that first year of the priesthood, you're learning all sorts of stuff.
Right?
So,
I never thought about that.
Perfectly fine.
So in this gesture of humility, I was deeply humbled for different reasons.
So we have about 10 minutes left. So we're gonna have to blow through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
So Friday, Good Friday. I would like to believe that a lot more people are understand sort of the essence of that. But we do note that there's not a Mass on Good Friday.
No Mass. Yeah.
The only day of the year, no Mass.
Only day. Yeah. And so that's another beautiful thing. The Triduum, right, which would be Holy Thursday through to the Easter Vigil, is regarded as one continuous liturgy.
Yeah.
So there's no you'll notice on Thursday, at the end of Mass, we take the Blessed Sacrament, we process, Jesus is reposed, almost like he's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then we all depart in silence. Mm. And then on Good Friday, which I think is the day that probably requires the least explanation, too. But the liturgy is so unique. The beginning, the clergy process in, and there's no greeting. There's no beginning. They just walk in, they lie prostrate on the floor. Like, the profound, humility and silence. I can even, hear the air conditioner in here right now or the heater and it's kind of chilling to me of this moment where Jesus dies for us, and we have the opening prayer, we go through the readings, obviously the passion account of Jesus, and then we would have the veneration of the cross would be the unique aspect and dynamic of this liturgy where the people literally we can come forward to kiss, to embrace, to reverence the instrument with which our redemption was won for us by Christ, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I will admit, as a priest, that was very moving and humbling for me to see people's devotion as they come forward to do this. It's very moving and very beautiful. And then we would conclude the liturgy by receiving. Oh, then there's the solemn intercessions where we pray for all these different things. You're standing, you're kneeling, but it's just drawing attention to on this day of days, we're praying in a particular way for all the needs of the world, the church. Then we would receive communion, it's not, the Mass isn't happening, but we have the Eucharist still from the night before Jesus coming, and then again we depart in silence. And then Saturday is just that, I think that's the coolest day to me, because it's an aliturgical day. There's just this silence, Jesus in the tomb, what do we do?
So this Friday, this Good Friday, in Camden, before the service, there's a live Stations of the Cross.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. So we will have a group of people in costumes, live, walking through the streets of Camden, reenacting the events of Good Friday. Last year was my first year. It was super cool. And as you guys know, Camden's an interesting place for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So it draws a lot of interesting attention, especially one of the highlights for me last year that I didn't expect was when we went by, because we go right by Cooper Hospital. All these nurses and stuff are appearing at the windows, what's going on down there? So it's just really neat. People are taking their phones out and taking pictures and videos. But it's beautiful. It's intense. I didn't expect it to be the people who are soldiers are into it.
Yeah.
Last year, our Pontius Pilate was crucifying. Like they're like, they take it really seriously.
And they're the sons of the women from Sunday who are yelling, crucify him.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It is something not to be missed, and I encourage you. And many, you can certainly come to Camden. Not every parish does a procession. I will tell, it seems to, in my time, I've noticed it tended to lean towards some of the more Latino parishes. It's often been a sort of looked at as a Latino thing, but it shouldn't be. I would love to see every parish do it.
Yeah.
Because it's really powerful, and it really immediately brings you back to like being a part of the passion. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing evangelization tool for the same reason you were just saying. So. Yeah. Because people are watching it from like the windows who might.
So then Holy Saturday, we're kind of, you know, once in that sort of strange interregnum. And then and then another one of the great things, and you know, I got to tell people, you know, if you haven't been to a vigil, an Easter vigil mass, you need to go just to see the fire.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this right now, if you're a pastor and the bishop's coming, it better be a good fire, because he takes note of people who have weenie little fires.
That's right. Call your local Boy Scout troop and get that baby fired up.
He wants a roaring fire. So that's the beginning of Mass, is this roaring fire in darkness.
That's right. All right. We have this roaring fire with which we bless the Easter candle. We take the fire from there. And this is just like, I think, one of the coolest visuals of the entire Triduum, really of all of like the Catholic liturgical life, is that you're in this church of complete darkness, right? Jesus is dead. Where do we go? Where is our hope? Is there hope? And all of a sudden, like, this single light penetrates into the darkness, and the deacon or whoever carries that candle in sings the light of Christ, thanks be to God. And then from that, everyone's candle gets lit. So it's like from the one Jesus who has risen, all of us are given hope and all of us are enlivened, enlightened. And it's super beautiful and super joyful. And then that whole, you know, obviously there's a lot of readings. You're in it for the long haul if you're coming to the vigil.
That's right.
But it walks us through all of salvation history, the covenants made between God and his people, and how Jesus rising from the dead is the fulfillment of all of that. Right. And it's just beautiful. Like, it's just super cool.
And then we see, depending on the parish and the time of year, we'll see new members join the Christendom with us, right?
Yeah. What better day to like be incorporated into the body of Christ than the day in which he rose, which is the reason why any of us got baptized in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's really neat.
Yeah. So
so we got a couple of people this year at the cathedral. So
very nice. Good. I'm happy to hear that. And then Easter Sunday, there's Easter bonnets. And Easter eggs and stuff and bunnies. It's funny. So here's the thing.
I have a good one.
So it's so strange. This is as an outsider, but I go to every single one of these events because the bishop's going to be in. I'm going to be at every single one of them, and they're all photographic gems. I do it because I want to be there, obviously, and I have to be there in other ways. But as a photographer, they're just fantastic.
Yeah.
Great photos everywhere I go. Easter Sunday, I will admit, a little anticlimactic because there's been such pageantry. Yeah. If you've gone to everything, there's been such pageantry. And the Easter Vigil is definitely the pinnacle of that.
Yeah.
And then Easter Sunday, I actually feel bad for folks who didn't avail themselves of everything else, because you're getting Easter Sunday, which an Easter Sunday Mass is actually fairly similar to a regular Sunday Mass.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, the priest will go up and down the aisles, a blessing and things like that. But other than that, it's fairly similar. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks nice. Everybody's got their families together. The kids are all running around with chocolate on their faces, and you know, someone didn't get an egg and they're upset about it. But it's a Sunday Mass, so I wanted to have this podcast specifically so that people would know, go to the other stuff too, because it informs, like you were saying, it informs everything else.
Yeah.
And then Easter Sunday really is that celebration.
Or as my sister believed when she was a little kid, what is Easter? And she said, it's when the Easter bunny comes and you open the egg and Jesus comes out.
I can only hope somebody would do that with their chocolate eggs. It is kind of weird when you get a... when I was a kid, I got a chocolate crucifix. That's a weird thing to give a kid.
I mean, we do eat his body. So I guess like eating the cross and making it sweet is not that unusual.
Really making choices right then and there. Well, Father, I got to tell you something. Like I said, we've done this episode many times, and I I'm going to go on the record, and I apologize to all the previous priests who were on. This is the best one. You gave us little nuggets that I've never heard, and I've been doing this for forever, and I go to all these things.
Yeah, I love nuggets.
So I thank you for the nugs. We really appreciate that. I really got a lot out of this.
This is wonderful.
I hope people actually hug through all the jocularity to learn the important stuff.
Yeah. I hope everybody got all the important nugs out of this.
Nugs. We're all about the Eastern nugs.
That's right. Well, everybody, thank you very much for joining us. Father Robbins, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
This is fun for
really
me
appreciate
too.
That. Yes, thank you. Jen, thank you for breaking away from your brother for a little while to hanging out with us. And to all our listeners, thanks for sticking with it. And we appreciate it. And you guys have a great Holy Week, and we'll talk to you again next week. See you, everybody.
Bye.